From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, the podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We are 75 episodes into the podcast. Hard to believe. It's good to be back with you, Leah. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
We got all kinds of feedback about the new format, and both techs said they enjoyed it. That's not true. No. If you are new to the program, we started a little bit of a new format to the last time we got together on the podcast. We are just sitting behind a microphone talking instead of trying to discuss one issue. We're discussing just several things and just enjoying our time together. And in all seriousness, we got a little bit of feedback from it. Everyone who did contact us said they liked it. And for that, we are thankful. But Leah, I want to start off with something from the world of sports. We're recording this on Wednesday, before this comes out on Friday. It has nothing to do with college basketball, if you can believe it. It has to do with the 2024 Summer Olympics. Have you heard this news?
No.
There were three cities. This, by the way, tells you just how popular it is to host the Summer Olympics. There were a grand total of three cities trying to get the 2024 Summer Olympics, and today one of them dropped out. There are only two cities that are trying to get the 2024 Summer Olympics.
What are they?
One is, I'll give you a hint, one is in France.
Paris.
Good guess. One is in the United States. There's a few more large cities.
LA.
Los Angeles. That's great. Do you know which city dropped out? It's a European city.
No idea.
Budapest, Hungary. Now, I'm not saying Budapest doesn't deserve the Olympics, but you start looking at that versus Paris. But can you think about that? Only two cities even want this thing. We've talked before, you and I have, about how it seems like...
You lose money.
You lose money, yeah, if you host the sermon. And have you seen the stuff making the rounds about the places they used at the Rio Olympics just last year and how they're all, like, torn to pieces and trashed and...
How?
They didn't have the money to keep them up after the Olympics are over. And, like, the grass on the soccer field is all dead. The seats in the soccer stadium ripped out. It's unbelievable.
It's horrible.
It is horrible. The pool is, like, completely contaminated. Of course, that happened during the Olympics. Remember that? They swam in green water. Remember that? How they had to clean the water up during the Olympics one time? Mm-hmm. But anyway, that has nothing to do with our main thing, but I just thought I'd, you know, bring something interesting up there. You're getting ready to go speak somewhere in a little while. Well, not a little while, it's like a few hours or anything, but...
another week and a half.
Yeah. Well, when this comes out, it'll actually be a week. You are going to be speaking at a homeschool mother's retreat or just homeschool? What is this thing?
Well, it's for homeschoolers who are members of the Church of Christ.
There you go. So it's not just a ladies thing, I'm guessing. Or is it a ladies thing?
Yeah, homeschool moms.
Homeschool moms. Okay.
I actually didn't know all this stuff.
But
right.
But it's not exactly next door. People need to buy a map because you're driving all the way from here to...
Louisville, Kentucky.
That's right. Now, do you pronounce the capital of Kentucky Louisville or Louisville?
It's Louisville.
It's Franklin.
Oh, I knew the joke, too. I knew the joke.
Yes. Oh. And the great thing was I knew she knew the joke, and I still went for it.
You still got me.
No, but you're going to Louisville, and that'll be March, what is it, 3rd and 4th? What are the first weekend in March?
Yes,
is Friday night and Saturday. What are you talking about? And you're also leading the singing. You're like half the program, aren't you?
No.
I'm just kidding.
I'm speaking on... Bible time in your homeschool and how to involve your husband in your homeschool.
Okay. And by the way, I just realized I totally bombed that joke a minute ago. It's Frankfurt, not Franklin.
All right there.
Yeah.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm tired. We've had a busy few days. It seems like we always have busy few days.
It's getting late.
And it's also late for us, pretty late now as we're recording this. That's
for
right.
For Wednesday night.
But you are, you're speaking up there in... Louisville/Louisville/ not the capital of Kentucky.
I know it's not Louisville.
Which is Frankfurt, not Franklin. At a homeschool retreat. In all seriousness.
We need to give up the
joke. You're doing... that's part of the deal on the podcast. Mm. We just keep stuff going forever. Mm. But you're speaking on a couple of subjects and you're leading singing. But this is something that you were asked to do like a long time ago. But you excited?
Yeah, I really am. I think I don't really get to talk about homeschool a whole lot. So it is kind of unique. I mean, it just makes, I think I'm excited to go and be able to talk about it and be around other homeschool moms.
What in the world are you possibly going to tell them about how your husband can help with the homeschool considering yours doesn't?
I think
no, I'm, notice she didn't deny that.
No,
that,
no,
that would make me feel a whole lot better.
But. No, actually, that's part of one thing I am going to speak about is that it would be different for every family, and it just depends on how each family decides to handle that.
Yeah.
So that's actually part of the lesson.
Well, good. You're not going to completely throw me under the bus then. That's good.
And there are ways that dads are, they are involved in homeschool that
well,
might
like
not,
when you're driving to Louisville/Louisville, I'll be
right.
teaching the kids homeschool,
right.
I guess. So.
Yeah. And, you know, and there's other ways you support the homeschool, not just, yeah. even if you're not, you know, teaching some of the, but we're, you know, I don't want to give it all away for those who might be attending.
So I'm guessing, like, what, Facebook or something probably finds some information about this thing?
Yes, but it's for members of the Church of Christ.
Okay, so
homeschool moms. But the registration date has already.
Oh, never
passed.
Mind. I honestly did not realize that. I'm sorry, folks. So you can be looking for 2018.
Yeah, keep that in mind for next year.
That's right. Or if you're listening to this in 2018, get ready for 2019,
right.
I guess. So
yeah.
There you go. But anyway, just thought we'd bring that up because I'm always happy when.
Well,
the league
it's only
gets
a week and a half away, and there's lots of preparation. So.
Yeah. I'm always asked. I'm always excited when league gets asked to speak somewhere. It's just kind of cool. But I have to say, we've talked about this before, that when you got, I guess it was when you guys to speak at Polish in the Pulpit a couple of times for ladies or something, that I've always heard you say, like, you get nervous when I speak somewhere. And I didn't know that feeling until, like, you were speaking. I didn't have any, you know, I should have been a lecture, I guess, but I was actually kind of taking a little bit of time off. And I walked by the room you're going to speak in, and I got, like, super nervous. And I couldn't be in there. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. it's a ladies class, but I thought, I guess I kind of at least halfway know what this feels like. And I knew you would do just a, you know, fabulous job, but it was still like, I don't know. It was just like, sympathy pains? Mm-hmm. Is that sympathy nerves? I don't know.
Sympathy nerves.
Yeah. We heard Kathy Power talk about that at Fried Hardeman, your husband,
mm-hmm.
Neil, was on the open forum panel this year. And I think she got more nervous
Those
than
are
he
some
did.
Real nerves right there.
Yeah. But so anyway, so that's almost said February, March, the 3rd and 4th, you'll be in. I won't tell the joke again. You'll be in Louisville, which is not the capital of Kentucky, right? Let's talk about
Franklin.
Yeah, or Frankfurt or something. Yeah, maybe it's Paducah. I don't know. Or Paddock, as one of my relatives one time called it.
Monkey's Eyebrow.
Monkey's Eyebrow, Kentucky. Yeah, Paducah's halfway between Monkey's Eyebrow and Possum Trot. It used to be a T-shirt that had that. I want to talk about something for yes, these are real places. I want to talk about something. You and I have actually mentioned on the podcast before, just very much in passing. But since this is coming out right near the end of a month, next week, the month of March will begin, we kind of started this tradition, I guess what, early 2016, middle 2016, somewhere in there, where we kind of set out a calendar for each month. And our goal in doing that is not to try to put everything we're going to do for the entire month on that calendar, but I want to take just a couple minutes here and kind of talk about how we make sure that there are at least three things that we put on our monthly calendar every month, if at all possible. And all we do is just print a cheapo, you know, free printable calendar out off the internet and hang it on our refrigerator, which was not cheap, but that's neither here nor there. Mm-hmm. The calendar's cheap, the refrigerator wasn't. But anyway, but we just sit down and we get the church calendar out. You know, we make sure that, you know, we're not scheduling something on the same night as a gospel meeting or something. But the three things that we try to put on there every month, one of them, of course, is our date night. And people may think that's really not romantic because we schedule our date night, but I'm glad we do.
Yeah, we make it happen.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people say, you should have a date night every week. Maybe that's true. But right now, for one thing, there are not very many weeks where we could do that.
Yeah, I
mean,
I think that would kind
a true date. Now, we might be able just to, you know, put the kids to bed and, you know, eat a cookie or something.
I think, depending on your stage in life, that would almost be really hard to do.
But we do our absolute best to put, you know, one a month, and we put that on the calendar. And, I'm enough of a nerd, I guess. You can nod. I'm surprised you're not. About calendars and clocks and things, that actually is romantic to me, because that puts it as a priority to me. And if somebody calls, you know, if someone dies, that's a different deal. If somebody just calls and says, hey, can I talk to you? I'm sorry. Something's on my calendar. Thankfully, that's not happened very often at all, but it's there. The other two things we always put in our calendar, One is my daddy-daughter date, my date with Mary Carol every month. And as we're recording this, we just had that, two nights ago? I'm telling you, this has been a busy last few days.
Last night.
This has been a busy stretch of time here. And we keep it very simple. She looks so forward to that, it's unreal.
It was Monday night. Yeah.
But anyway, it's 2 nights ago. But she looks forward to that like crazy, except this time she forgot.
Well, we were at co-op. That's how I remember it was Monday night. She forgot it. We were busy all day until I reminded her she needed to get ready.
But I call her in the morning and ask her if she can go out and everything. But we always put that on the calendar. Again, for the same reason. We'll talk about daddy-daughter dates on this podcast, I'm sure, a bunch of times. But that goes on the calendar. And then the other one, we call it Daddy Turner time. We don't call it a date because that'd be really weird. But Daddy Turner time. And I have found, and this doesn't work every month, but a lot of times, the way where I preach, most months, our youth minister preaches on fourth Sundays. Doesn't always work out that way, but that's kind of a typical month. I'll preach the first three Sundays, and he preaches the fourth. And I have found most of the time that fourth Sunday afternoon is just perfect because I don't have to worry about getting my Sunday night lesson. I always have it together, but I don't have to sit in the room and think through it, study over it again, all that kind of stuff. But a lot of times we'll just go to a park, play, or whatever. And here's the thing. Here's what I wanted to talk about it. Do you think since we started doing that we've been better about doing those things? And also, do you think it's helped the kids see that we prioritize it?
I think so. I mean, I think, like you said, especially for you, that is such an important thing to you to in your way of thinking, is to have something written down on a calendar and plan it. Then that, I know it's helped it happen more.
Yeah, I think we haven't done all three things every month perfectly, but I think we've done better. Mm-hmm. And there have been a couple of times, like I remember several months ago, we had scheduled for me to have my daddy-daughter date with Mary Carol, and we went out to eat somewhere just really inexpensively here in town. But then there was a movie playing that was very much just a kid's movie, but I knew Turner would want to see it too. So I just asked, since it was a daddy-daughter date, I asked Mary Carol's permission. Basically, could we ask Mommy and Turner a double date with us? Well, Mary Carol and I went out to eat or went out for ice cream or something, and then we met you all at the movie. So we're not perfect at doing everything, but I want to point out, the reason I want to bring this up is not to lift us up at all when doing that, but just to encourage people to actually sit down and be intentional about whatever's important to them. It may not be a daddy. Who cares what it is, really? But
it's a special time.
Yeah, but if you put those things on the calendar first, again, we put the church stuff on the calendar first, gospel meetings or teacher work nights or whatever, but then it's so easy to fill the rest of the calendar up with, well, I'd like to go see 17 ball games this month. Well, I kind of would too, but I've got a date with my wife. That's more important. And if we're not careful, that stuff that's kind of secondary takes over, and the culture we live in is going to take over every night if we allow it to.
And our kids really love that. I know the last time we sat down and worked on a calendar, that was a whisper into your ear. I remember, when is our daddy-daughter date?
Yeah, she always wants to make sure it's on there.
Pointing to a day that was empty, saying, yeah. Right there.
I'm looking over your head, Lee, at we're recording this in our kitchen, which we basically always do. I'm looking at the refrigerator. I'm telling you, we've been busy. And I'm kind of, you know, I can't read it word for word, but, you know, we put the Freedom Harmon lectures on there back in early February. There were a couple things at church we put on there, but then those things went on. And that's just important for us. We just want to encourage you. You know, March is getting ready to start next week. Get a cheapo calendar or pull out a Google calendar online for free. And put those things on, prioritize. Put those things on there first. So
I always have dreams of making it real Pinteresty, but I want to do like a dry erase thing.
Yeah, you've tried pictures. To find like some super fancy ones on like Amazon and stuff before, but hadn't worked yet.
No, hasn't worked yet.
We're doing my cheapo printacalendar.com or
something.
The
point is, just do it, even if it is just a piece of paper. Even if it's just a printed calendar page.
Yeah. You put an article on Facebook. You linked to an article on Facebook some time ago that I want to get to in just a second. But before we get to that, Leah, we have to remember to do our update. This week in The Wizard of Oz. if you were not with us for program 2 weeks ago, we have a goal. Your weird husband bought the entire novel series of Wizard of Oz. 14 volume or 14 novels in 3 volumes. We have it. We're trying to read through all of them. We're still on that second novel. Tip and Jack Pumpkinhead and the Sawhorse have found the Emerald City. We're proud of them. Now the Scarecrow has been rebelled against by an army of women. I did not see this coming. I have to say it. Had you ever seen this? Mm-hmm. We're reading this chapter, and I'm going, what in the world? I have no idea where this is going. I'm hooked because I'm going, this is confusing at times.
I think we had one section of the of Jack and the Pumpkinhead and everything in one of our writing lessons. Because they that writing, well, at least the program we used to use, it would have passages from, you know, good children's books, and then use that to teach some writing skills. And I remember that. I'm pretty sure that was in one of them.
But so we will hopefully let people know what happens to Tip and Jack Pumpkinhead, and who, we may be in the third novel next time. Who knows? But we are about 2/3, I guess, the way through the second novel. So we're a little behind schedule, but not too bad. We're doing okay. And the kids love it.
They ask for it.
Yeah. They love it. But just warning you, if you read more than just the actual first novel, The Wizard of Oz, get ready to be totally confused, because there's some weird stuff in that, which makes me wonder how much weirder it gets. If this is just the second one, how much more bizarre can this thing possibly get? Anyway, you linked to an article on Facebook. And we actually had this in our docket for the last podcast and just didn't get to it, and that's okay. It was from a website that has a really cool name, Hip Homeschool Moms, which I know describes you. You're a homeschool mom, totally hip.
I don't think hip describes me.
But the name of the article, and we'll link to this in the show notes, and those can be found at fawnfamily.com/pod75, pod 75. The name of it was Dear Younger Me. And then kind of subtitled, About All Those Things You Fear. And the basic idea behind it, and I'll kind of set it up and let you talk here. But the basic idea of it was, we always seem to get worried about, you know, if I do this, my kids are going to turn out this way. And you don't know, you know, because you can't see into the future. But this article was kind of written by a woman saying, if I were looking back, here's what I would tell myself. You know, don't worry about it. Kind of take it from there. Why did you like this article so much?
Well, I think the title, actually, I guess I found it on, I don't know if it was Facebook or Pinterest that I found it on, but
you share it on Facebook. That's where I came across it.
The title really spoke to me because I have a real problem with that, especially when it comes to my children. It's just about all the things that you don't know about that's going to happen in your life. And I spend a lot of time being afraid of them. I mean, I'm just admitting it's true. And
why afraid of the kids?
If you're doing things the right way.
Yeah. So you're not afraid of the kids. You're just afraid you're going to mess them up.
Yeah. I'm afraid I'll make wrong decisions. Yeah. And that, you know, one way or the other, if I'm too strict, that they're going to grow up and rebel because, you know, I'm too strict. And if I'm not strict enough, then they're going to grow up and not have the character that they need. And, you know, it's just a back and forth thing all the time. Every little decision you make sometimes can... And that, sometimes I have really struggled with that a lot of times. And just that title just jumped out at me because there are all of those things I fear. And I wondered, you know, what this take was. So, you mean to talk a little bit about the article? Is that what you're...
Yeah, I wanted to read one of the sentences that jumped out at me and kind of to lead you a little bit here. She writes, again, this is her kind of writing as looking back, and she said, all the character flaws you see in her daughter, are just normal things. It's not because of any mistakes you made, not because of the tough choices you made, and certainly not because you homeschooled her. In fact, those things you worry most about, raising her abroad, for example, turn out to be the most positive things about her childhood, so stop fretting. She's totally well-adjusted at 17. In fact, she has far more self-awareness and emotional insight than most adults I know. Now, again, that's one paragraph among a long article. We won't link to the whole article. But that's the paragraph that kind of jumped out at me. It's kind of a turning point in the whole thing of, if I choose for them to have carrots tonight for supper instead of green peas, it's not going to ruin their teenage years. Is that kind of the way you took it?
Right.
I mean, and I know it's more important stuff than that. But.
Right. Well, and just thinking about exactly, like, well, in that the paragraph you're talking about there about she was evidently worried about raising her abroad. And, you know, is that going to be something that's going to just damage her childhood? Are we really, you know, going to have some issues over this? Am I doing what's best for her? And, you know, she's just making the point that some of those things that you are worried about are going to turn out to be exactly what needed to happen in that child's life. And I think just as Christians, we need to remember that that's how God works sometimes. He can take something that's happening to us, and that actually turns out to be a really good thing in your life. When you look back on it, you're saying, wow, I'm glad it happened that way. And
as parents, you're going to make decisions sometimes. And sometimes it's the non-decision. You know, we've thought about moving, but we don't. Or daddy thought about changing jobs, and he didn't. Or we thought about homeschooling our kids, and we didn't. Or we did. And we think it's going to completely ruin their childhood. But like you said, as Christians, we've got to have faith that we make the best and most wise decision we can make, and God can work through that.
God can handle it. And that's hard for me, but I try to tell myself that, but it's really hard. But I didn't come up with this idea, but I've seen it, read it, or heard it at some point that, you know, if you're doing your best, you can't mess up bad enough for God not to be able to fix it somehow.
Yeah.
And if you can just remind yourself of that, you know, we're not talking about making sinful choices, you know, but just if you're really trying, you know, God knows we don't have all the information sometimes that we wish we had about something. But,
well, you know, it's the old thing, decision making, that sometimes it leaves people frustrated. It leaves me frustrated sometimes of I've gathered information, you know, or we've gathered information. I've prayed, we've prayed, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, it's still, while we have, it's again, we're not talking about a sinful thing, you know, righteousness versus evil. We're talking about just, should I take this job or this job? Or should we live here or here? Should we buy this house or that house? Or should we, you know, do a co-op with our kids for homeschool or not? That kind of thing. At the end of the day, it's up to our discernment, our wisdom, and we've got to believe that as long as we kind of keep our, you know, keep our finger on the pulse of things and keep trying to do what's best, that God can work through that. You know, let's go to the co-op thing just as an example. You know, we've kind of gone back and forth at times about, right now our kids are in a co-op on Mondays. We go back and forth sometimes. Is that good? Is it bad? Here's the thing. It's good and bad. And them not being in co-op is good and bad.
Right.
And whatever you decide to make, decision you decide to make, as long as it's done in wisdom and love, God can work through either one of those. And just making either decision is not going to ruin or make their childhood.
And
it's how you and God work through it.
And another thing too, in the paragraph in front of the one you read a minute ago, there was a point made that, yeah, you know, sometimes you are worried about something and you're afraid because you see a character flaw in one of your children, and you know, in a real kind of way, she says sometimes that doesn't go away. But we all have character flaws, you know, and you're not going to, you know, raise your children to be perfect human beings without any flaws. They're going to, you know, if someone has a tendency to be lazy in an area of their life, they may still have that when they're an adult, and that might still be something they still struggle with. Or if they've, you know, are real scattered, you know, she mentions her daughter's, you know, messy room. And then in that paragraph, it's still messy. Sorry. You know, that's just something that has not. So what good is it to worry about if you've done all you can to try to fix it? But, you know, the problem I think most people sometimes deal with is trying to fix it. Where's that line between doing your best to fix it and just being fearful of, mm-hmm. you know, that not being fixed in your life somehow right then and there or ever? Maybe it will never be fixed and you're afraid of what that means. And, you know, that the point of the article was that, you know, it was still okay because she's still, you know, she's older now, the daughter's older now, and she's a fantastic girl, you know, and she's this and she's this and she's this, but that doesn't mean that everything is perfect with her, but it's neither with us either. It's not with us either, so.
Yeah. So again, we'll link the article in the show notes. I'm glad you shared that. We didn't get to it last time, but I wanted us to have the time to talk through it a little bit. But you're right. I think as parents sometimes, and again, I can't kid about, you know, being carrots or green peas at supper, but it's really the bigger stuff. And we can look at it and say, okay, if we decide to send them to private school instead of public school, or we homeschool them instead of send them to school, we're ruining their childhood, or we're making their childhood. And the fact of the matter is, it still comes down to, are we parenting our children?
I know are you having their best interest at heart? And, yeah. You know, that's where you have to come to terms with it as parents. Is this a decision, if is it a selfish decision, or is this something we really feel like, as parents, this is going to be the best for them and for us and everything? And
yeah, well, I mean, that goes back to, you know, a lot of times we tell people that, you know, yes, we homeschool. And frankly, we think more families should. But should every family homeschool? No. More should, we think, you know, really, but not every family should, because not every family is capable. Not every family has the financial, you know, some families literally, both parents have to work just to put food. That happens not as often as a lot of people like to think, but it does happen sometimes. You know, sometimes maybe, you know, maybe the mom has to work because the dad has some kind of physical, way, you know, or mental disability or something and can't, you know, couldn't teach the school. But if a family decides to homeschool their kids, or a family decides to, you know, have their kids in school, it still comes down to, are they parenting that child, like you said, to the best of their ability, you know, to the child's best interest? That's why I tell people, we're not evangelists for homeschool.
Right.
we think more families should, but we're not going to walk up to a couple, you're a terrible person because you don't homeschool your children. No. If they're parenting those kids, that's what matters. And so, all right, I found this quote, Leah. You know who Charles Spurgeon is? Ooh.
Famous theologian.
Ah, good guess. Yeah, cool. Yeah, he was a Baptist pastor in London in the late 1800s, early 1900s. I believe the name of the congregation was the London Tabernacle or something. It had like 10,000 members. It was absolutely crazy. But he had this great quote on parenting. He said, "If we never have headaches through rebuking our children, our little children, we shall have plenty of headaches when they grow up." That's pretty wise. I'll say it again. If we never have headaches through rebuking our little children, we shall have plenty of headaches when they grow up. Yes.
Sounds almost biblical.
Yeah. It's almost like he was a preacher or something, right? I mean, train up a child in the way he should go. It doesn't say train up an adult, right? Train up a child. But how often do we see, and we won't spend a lot of time on this, because I think people who listen to podcasts like this know this, but how often do you see parents who are afraid to discipline their kids when they're little? And I mean little as in like preschool, even elementary, because we're just going to, they won't be our friend, or we're scared, or we'll ruin their childhood, or we'll hurt their feelings.
Or it's easier. You're making the choices that make it easier for you. It's a lot easier to just appease your child than to discipline them and have to do it over and over and over.
Yeah. But, you know, and obviously our kids, as we're recording this, are 11 and 9. We're not experts in raising teenagers, but I was a youth minister for a while and have been around teenagers, you know, I guess since I was one or whatever. It's a whole lot easier to rein that stuff in when kids are 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 than it is when they're 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And then when they're out of the house, you're going to have, I love that quote, you're going to have plenty of headaches if you haven't reined that stuff in.
I think one thing I think about that, and this is just a little example of, I remember especially when the children are a little bit younger, and not that they're perfect, but someone would comment about how polite they were. And I remember thinking sometimes of all of the times, over and over and over, we would say, "What do you say?"
Mm-hmm.
Or if they said, "Yeah," we said, "Yes, ma'am." Yeah, "Yes, sir." And over and over, day in and day out, and people didn't see all those times at home that we really,
and we still
every
do.
Single time tried to.
They still fall out of it,
yeah,
sometimes.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Done. They're not perfect. But just, that's just an example of, you know, but now it was hard because it takes you being really intentional. That's just not even a example where, you know, they're going to grow up and do something horrible and bad,
well,
because you didn't. But the point is, we spent a lot of time,
to use
yeah,
his words,
trying to get them to learn that the manners that we wanted to see in them as they got a little older, so that they wouldn't feel so comfortable talking to adults in a smart aleck kind of way. We didn't want to see that with us or with any other adult. And so, but yeah, it took a long, it took, and it's, we still do it a lot. But I remember back when they were really young, I mean, all the time, they never remembered to say it. Yeah. It'd been easy just to say, oh, well, it's not that big a deal. But we thought it is a big deal. We wanted to
teach his respect,
right?
Yeah. So let's do this last. Let's stick with that quote for a second. Let me just throw the microphone over to you for a second. Talk to that mom who's listening to the podcast and maybe has a baby on the way, or just a little toddler or whatever, and it is a headache to discipline that child. It is frustrating. Give her some encouragement. And again, our kids aren't perfect. They're 11, 9. We got a long way to go, but those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old years are rough sometimes. Give them some encouragement to keep going.
I think I would just say most of us know what kind of adult we would like to raise. And when you have that 1 or 2 or 3-year-old, you approach the discipline with that in mind. You don't let things slide just because it's easier at the moment. You know, if you want them to grow up to be a certain kind of person or to refrain from certain kinds of behavior, that's when it begins. You know, you start early and keep that in mind. And, you know, I know that there's a possibility that sometimes you can ask too much of your children. I understand, but really, I think we're smarter than that and we know what they can handle, but most kids are able to behave better than we think they can, and they can learn a little quicker than we think they can sometimes. And I really think, you know, it's okay just to have an idea, like, I want them to be a person who would never, you know, be comfortable doing this activity or whatever, and just keep that in mind. You know, I'm going back to the other example, you know, if you don't want your child to sash you, then don't let them ever get away with it, even when they're younger, and think, well, they don't understand. If you want them to show you respect,
let me throw this monkey wrench in it. Encourage the mom and the dad who feel like they're the only ones, maybe with their congregation, who are doing this and their kids are 2, 3, 4 years old. For sure in their community, maybe their congregation. Kind of just build them up a little bit.
It's parenting upstream business.
Yeah.
You just have to know that it's worth it in the end. Just don't give up. I mean, I don't know how I would say it any other way. It's just, you just have to know it's worth it in the end. And one day, even if you are alone in it, hopefully one day your children will be able to find real friendships when they're older and meet, you know, their future spouse. And it would all be worth it, because hopefully somewhere in another congregation all alone, there's maybe another family doing the same thing, and maybe your children will be able to, you know, meet those people. And I think that's why it's so important to find ways you can connect with other families who are like-minded and do your best at it to make it a point. Because it can get, you know, it can be lonely if you feel like, you know, you're really trying to raise your children in a certain way and not everyone else sees it that way. Not everyone understands that what your decisions you're making, or they don't know why you make such a big deal about this, and that can be hard. And you can want to give up sometimes and think, well, maybe, you know,
maybe it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, maybe it's not that big a deal, and let's just. And I'm not saying that there's never a time you have to maybe understand, maybe you do need to lighten up in a certain way. You know, I mean, I don't think every parent, if you're honest, says, okay, here's what we've always thought, but you don't know what it's going to be like with being a parent at a certain age or whatever, and you have to regroup and maybe, you know, do something in a different way. And, you know, I think that's just called being wise sometimes, but I think you know what we're talking about. Just not giving up on your values and the way you want your family to be, just to hang in there.
That sounds good. That's encouraging.
I don't know.
That was encouraging. That's what I wanted you to do, just build them up. You can do it. Keep fighting. Keep going. Keep working at it. So in the show notes for this episode, we'll link the article we mentioned, and we hope people will visit that. FawnFamily.com/POD75, pod 75. 2 weeks, we'll be back on the podcast, Leah. Do you know what's coming up in a couple of weeks?
What?
When podcast number 76 is released, will be 2 days from Selection Sunday.
I was going to say it's going to be March, so I had a pretty good guess.
So that week it may be hard to record because, you know, we usually try to record Wednesday or Thursday, and, you know, like the ACC, the SEC, the Big Ten, Pac-12, Atlantic 10, Big East, all those conference tournaments will be going on. It's going to be hard. That's the sacrifice we make for this podcast.
You can do it.
Big 12, Conference USA, Big West. Just saying.
Yeah.
Should we just give an NCAA tournament preview show next time?
No.
Man. I tried. Oh, well. We've killed enough time. No. We hope you enjoy these. We just kind of ramble a little bit and talk about a few things. I'm enjoying it, honestly. Yeah, I hope you are. You said you did last time.
I am enjoying it.
Good deal. We're two for two. That's good. So we will be back with you again in 2 weeks. Leah, love you.
Love you too.
And we hope folks will listen. By the way, I haven't said this in a little while. Please subscribe to the podcast. If you haven't yet, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, whatever podcast app you use. It really does help. And if you haven't left a rating review in iTunes, that helps even more somehow. I don't know how it works. I just know it does. But we'd really appreciate it. And again, we'll be back with you again in 2 weeks on the program. And until then, remember, your family can't go to heaven. Just make sure that you go there together.